My name is Ruben. I'm an alcoholic.
Ruben.
First and foremost, I want to welcome the, is it Austin? Austin, and then Corey, and I think they say Don? Is that the guy in the back? Whoever identified back there, I want to welcome you guys. Welcome back. And that's a good thing, man. And I have a sobriety date of August 18th of 2013. The High Desert Big Book group here was my home group for like 8 years, my first 8 years of sobriety, man. I love this place. It's always an honor and a privilege to come back. I want to thank Mark, who's not here, but Aaron's here, and Chris is here. I remember when Chris, I have good memories of this place. This place is home. And what I found here is a place that, and people that really, we were talking about this earlier, that necessarily don't care about where you've been or whatever, anything you've done, but what you want to do about your problem. And that's how I found here in Alcoholics Anonymous here with the High Desert Big Book group. You know, to sum up, thank you, Kerry, for your 10-minute spiel there. And I can identify with that, you know. My story's not, you know, it's a little bit different, but I just want to share like the message of what hope really is here at Alcoholics Anonymous. I think I'm a good example of that, man, because before I got here, I'm a real alcoholic, just so you know. That means that all bets are off. If I start drinking or I start doing anything in excess, I break out of handcuffs. I don't know about you, but I break out of handcuffs. That's just how I roll. I grew up in Boyle Heights, California. Man, I don't know if anybody knows where that is. It's in East Los Angeles. Had a mom who loved me to death, that raised me by herself. I didn't have a father. Didn't grow up with a father. I never knew what a father was. I would watch. I think that's what started my, like when I started looking at other families and I started seeing them with fathers and I didn't have a father in my family, I think that's where my alcoholism started, because I always was never comfortable in my own skin. Whenever we would go places, my mom would, oh, this is my son, but they're like, you always hear these whispers, oh, where's the dad, where's the dad? My dad was never around. My dad left me when I was 2 years old. And, as I was growing up, I grew up in the 70s, so sex, drugs, and rock and roll, right? That was the motto of the 70s, right? And that's what I grew up, you know, I always heard that, and there's no alcoholics in my life, man. No, my mom didn't drink. Nobody in my family drank. It just felt different, man. Like, and I remember as I grew up through grade school, I always felt different. I was always the tallest kid. They would always call me names. The bullies would always pick on me. I would always fight with them. But I was just like that kind of, you know, yeah, you had to prove yourself back in those days. And, you know, till I was about maybe 12 years old. And I remember, I can remember very well. I can remember vivid. I remember exactly where I was at, where I was doing. I remember it was a June afternoon. I was walking home from sixth grade. And, you know, when I grew up around all the icons on the block, the guys that rode motorcycles and skateboards and BMX bikes, and they had all the girls, and they're all, you know, in that particular time, it was a little bit different. There was a lot of things going on. And I always had my eye on the older kids. They were hip. And I was introduced to alcohol at 12, man. I got a bottle of Kilby's Gin. I don't know if you guys know what Kilby's Gin is. It comes in a little bottle like that. And I remember when I used to go home from school, it's either I could walk around two hills and go home, or I can go up the stairs and cut through and get to my house, right? So, you know, we always take shortcuts, right? So, and I would do it on purpose. I remember that day I took that. I knew they were going to be there. I knew they were going to be out back. I knew exactly where they were going to be, out back on lawn chairs. And they would, like, I would pass by, and they would always call me over that day. And I remember I took that first drink of alcohol. And I'll tell you this much. The day I drank that first drink of alcohol was June of 1983. Man, I didn't know that that bender would end on August 18, 2013. But that's how that started for me. And that's what alcohol did for me. That day, it made everything. I mean, look, I drank about half of the bottle. I started spinning, I started throwing up. In Mexican culture, if you grow up in Hispanic cultures, they have the little chilitos out back, you know, those little things in the plant. They gave me one of those, eat this, drink this, drink that. You know, I looked like a red tomato. My head was all, like my face was just really, really red, right? And that was my first feeling of incomprehensible demoralization. I was demoralized at that age. And I remember going home and I need to go to sleep. I don't want my mom to find me like this. And I remember I came out of it. And like normal kids will say, like, man, I'm not gonna go by those guys, man. I'm never going by those guys again. Shoot, I was back there again next week. The following week I went by there again. Thus, you know, that's the kind of alcoholic I am. And you know, for those, I would say for like those first 6 years of drinking and using, I was introduced to marijuana, PCP, cocaine, all kinds of cannabinoid. I don't know if you guys cross tops. All that stuff. They had all that stuff going on. All that stuff was going on in the 80s, man. And, you know, I don't know how people come to the meeting and they'll tell you, hey, you know what, I was drinking because drinking stopped working for me. Man, drinking always worked for me. It always turned off. It always made me feel like I couldn't feel or anything. It turned me right off and it did exactly what it was supposed to do, blocked me from feeling. And, you know, I did that for a lot of years. I experimented with a lot of outside issues. But this is Alcoholics Anonymous, and I respect what Alcoholics Anonymous stands for. That's another sidebar here. But drinking for me, it just, you know, as I got through high school, that's all I was doing was drinking a lot, hanging out with the wrong crowd. You know, finally, you know, you would think maybe, you know, you finish high school, things will go a little bit better. I went to college for a little bit, started drinking, and then next thing you know, I graduated to cocaine. Because cocaine and drinking, they go together. They go together, and that went on for many years, and then it turned into other things. And, you know, I got to that point in 2013 where, like, life was just, you know, I remember, like, just bits and pieces of it, but I know that last year was like terrible. I remember I would see my mom, and my mom, you know, she'd always encourage me. She knows I'd be doing bad. Every time, you know, you ever see your mom when they look at you and they say, come here, Mel. They come and then they stare you down. And that's how my mom looks. She's like, start shaking her head. I'll be like, damn. Like, I let him down again. And she always tell me, you know what? I always, no matter what you, whatever you are, whatever, you're my son and I love you. And that's how I learned what unconditional love looked like from my mother, man. My mother was there always for me, whether I went to prison, whether I went to jail, wherever I went, man. My mom was, she would send me a card. She would try to uplift me. And, you know, it never worked. But her love always stood there, you know. And so what happened for me on that August afternoon or evening or morning or whatever it was is I ended up going to jail for the 38th time, man. I remember going to jail I didn't have a plan. I really didn't, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous was not on my mind. I can tell you that much. Until I met this gentleman from another fellowship, and he kept telling me about the drunk book, and I was in jail, and he goes, start reading this drunk book, man. You don't know. He goes, he told me, you don't know SHIT, so start reading it. He used to tell me that. You don't know anything, so just start reading this. And that's how it started for me. I was in drug court, incarcerated for like 10 months that time, and I remember getting out, and I knew I had to do something different. I didn't know. I really did not know what to do. Honestly, I was scared. It was either I could go back to East LA or I could come to Lancaster. And here I am in Lancaster, right? 13 years later, 11 years later. I got here to Lancaster in maybe the mid of June of 2014. This was one of the first meetings I came to. And I go to the Interaction group, that's my home group, and, you know, thank God for these two groups. They saved my life, because, you know, when I got here, when you start talking about God and all this stuff, like, I wasn't believing all that. I was like, man, I need to go, man. I don't know about you, man, but God, they started talking, God this, God that, and I was like, man, you know what, I'm going to give this a chance for 30 days, and if it doesn't work, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to go refund everything, and I'm just going to go back to what I was doing, and I'll tell you this much, I did my steps pretty rapidly, I'd say within the first 45 to 60 days, and something changed. I don't know, you know, like Bill talks about in the book, like I had this profound change within me, man. Like, I remember doing my fifth step, and after I did my fifth step, like, things changed for me, man. I felt it like I could feel something different. I never felt that ever in my life. In the 30 years of drinking and using, I never felt what I felt that day I did my fifth step. And what that provided for me was some relief, and it allowed me to be honest with another man. You know, that's something I can never do, man. Never be honest. And little did I know, that's the one thing that saved my life. It's the one thing that held me accountable for my actions, for everything, is that honesty. Because without that rigorous honesty, I probably would not be here. I'm not going to say probably. I wouldn't be here. And I remember that first year, you know, I came to the High Desert Big Book Group, and we were down there at the church right there on 20th and Jay at the right behind the Sizzler. I remember I went there, and Aaron was there, and Mark was there, and I think Marion was there at the time. And I remember I went to a book study with a guy named Paul, and he took me. He goes, "Yeah, let's go to this book study, man." And Paul's not here no more, but you know what? I'm glad he brought me here, because I've been here ever since, you know. And what I found here, man, is just the people here are amazing, man. Like, the love that I found in this room, the people, the friendships that I've had over the years. I watched a lot of people come to this group, man. But they're always the stalwarts are right here, man. They're always right here in front. You'll see them at every meeting, and that's the consistency part of the program. And they're consistent, and I love that, man. That's something I needed in my life, and I found it here in Alcoholics Anonymous, to be consistent. And so I stood, and, you know, I didn't really have any life skills. Let me tell you, man, like, I grew up with gang members. I grew up with a lot of different stuff, man. I grew up in a neighborhood that's predominantly Hispanic, so when I came to Lancaster, believe me, I was like, dang, okay, what am I getting myself into here? It was like suburbia or something, man. I was like, man, look, I grew up, for my first 40 years of my life, I grew up with nothing but 95%, 98%, 99% Hispanic people. I come up here, and I'm like, ah, where am I at? And it was weird, you know. But you know what? I love this place. I call it Lancaster home today, man. This is the place that saved my life, you know. Like I always say that, you know, into action saved my ass, but AA saved my life, man. And that place where I got there, and you know, you'll hear about our group, but I'm not here to promote any group. I'm just saying, if you're suffering in this room, man, and you want something different, like, you have to find something that's better than drinking and using, man, to stay here. Because if not, why would I want to come to a meeting on a Friday night? Listen to this lame talk about alcohol and drugs. Just saying, like, if there's not a sufficient substitute for alcohol or drugs, you're going to get loaded. And you'll see them. They'll come in. They'll drink the coffee. They'll come. They'll eat all our cookies. They'll eat all our cupcakes, all that stuff. They come here. They start, you know, what is that? Loathing in it. And then they leave. Then they become a punchline to a joke. Like, they, yeah, remember that guy? And then all of a sudden you're walking down, you're driving down Sierra Highway, there he is. Or you go down 10th Street West, and this dude's yelling at the wall or something, you know. I've seen it happen, man. You know, I've seen it happen. But for the grace of God, there go I, man. And, you know, look around this place, man. It says we're people that normally do not mix, man. You look at the person next to you. Would you drink with them? Would you use with them? But that doesn't matter. What matters is that the cement that keeps us together is Alcoholics Anonymous, that whatever, that you know how I drank and I know how you drank. And with whatever it is, it's one alcoholic working with another alcoholic. And I don't care. Whatever's in the middle is God. God works, man. That's what's in the middle of us. That's what keeps us together. Because if we just talked about, like, you know, drinking stories, it tells us we would just go our separate way. We would be like, all right, I won't drink that much. Or maybe I won't go out on Friday, I'll only go out on Saturday. Whatever your story is, if you drink and you can't stop drinking, and even when you say you're not going to drink and you drink, you can answer that question for yourself, man. Like, I'm not here to deem anybody an alcoholic, but you may want to, when people raise their hand and say they're a sponsor, you may want to talk to one of those persons here that have a good account of what, you know, their story and what they went through. You know, I don't want to add to my experience no more. You know, I'm grateful for having an 8, 18, or 13, man. I see a lot of people throw away dates, come back, or, you know, you ever heard this where people say, oh, I went out really quick and I came back. And I go, why? Why would you want to go out really quick and come back? Oh, well, I was drinking my beer, and next thing you know, I was like, God, I got to go to the meeting, this and that. Man, you ain't a real one, man. I go out and drink, man, I won't come back. I don't know about you. I'll go out early and stay out late. I don't know about you. That's just how it goes. The next thing you know, I end up in a place where there's a bunch of eyeballs. Everybody's looking at you, right? Because I love stimulants. I know there's some stimulant people in here that drink and you know, like to stay awake. I'm one of them. Hell yeah, I know. We're in there. But the one thing that cures us is laughter, man. Laughter heals the soul, man, for that. Because there was no laughing at the end of those times, man. When people were not inviting me to their houses 11 years ago. They were asking me to leave and leave really quick and promptly. They were telling me you need to shake the spot. You need to get out of here. Today, that's not the case, man. Today, man, I love Alcoholics Anonymous. What it's provided for me is a career, man. I found a career. I didn't think I would ever find a career. I thought I was just one of those persons, you know, I would think about it. I'd be like, man, I'm just going to end up dying, drinking, using, man. I found a career. Alcoholics Anonymous showed me how to get a job, man. I learned from the women how to raise kids. I didn't know how to raise my kids, man. I was one of those dads who just had kids and just was a dad by name, not by application, man. And that's not the case today. As most of you know, I have a younger son that's 11, and I took him out of the system and raised him on my own, man. He just turned 11 yesterday. It's crazy, so I'm grateful for that. As I turn 11, he turns 11. So that's just, he's never seen me drink or use or do anything or any of that kind of stuff, and I'm grateful for that. And it might not be something that would impress you, but I'm not here to impress anybody. I'm just here to tell you that we suffer from a deadly illness called alcoholism. And if you be an alcoholic, as described in that book, you're screwed, man. You're really screwed. You are, man. Because it'll tell you as you read through that textbook, and it is a textbook. There's no pictures in it. It's a textbook. And it tells me that I'm beyond human aid. And when I get to that point, what does that mean? That means my mom, even though my mom loved me, she could not help me. My dad could, wherever he's at, he could not help me. My kids couldn't help me. My aunt, my tia Concha, my tia Lili, all them, they couldn't help me. My tio Chilo, he'll probably, you know them, they used to peel back those beers back in the day. He'll probably say, go get me one of those beers, mijo. Only through a higher power, man. That's your defense against the first one. If it's in line, because it says there'll come a day where, just read page 24. If you really want to know what an alcoholic is, read page 24. That's what you suffer from. The first thought. It's like when you try to do it your way. It's like, oh, well, you know, the minute I'm in self, I might as well just go, man. Because if I'm not thinking of others and I'm only thinking about myself, then I'm in a bad spot. I'm in a dark place, you know. And ain't nobody do anything perfect here. So be careful when people say, hey, I do this, I do that. I tell them, walk across water and see if they can make it, okay? If they can make it across water, maybe I'll give them a chance. But, you know, we all come with faults here. We all come with, you know, there ain't nobody perfect here. But we're striving to be better people. And Alcoholics Anonymous has really, you know, allowed me to be a better version of myself, to be a better son, to be a better dad, to be a better friend, to have, you know, non-toxic relationships, you know. And, you know, I learned love from my mom, and that's the one person that showed me what love is all about, man. And like, when there was nobody around, and my mom would always, you know, tell me little things. And when I remember one time in prison, she sent me this card, and she goes, you know what? She goes, Mio, I know one of these days, this was in 2003, December of 2003, I remember I was paroling. She goes, you know what, Mio, I know that someday you're going to get it together. And I had just had a son in 99, and I did a four-year bid, and I never even seen it. By the time my son was in diapers, not even walking, when I came home, he was about 4 years old. Do you think that stopped me from drinking and using? It did not, man. The love of my kid for my kids, the love for my family, the love for anything I had, alcoholism will eat that and take that away, man. That's not sufficient. It just doesn't happen. Doesn't matter. Doesn't care who I love, what I want to do. All it cares about is just getting that first one down. And then from there, I'm done, man. Like, I don't have a sufficient... I don't have anything to block me from doing that if I don't have a solution. And, you know, I have a lot of experience in that. And I heard a lot of people, and You know, I would like to tell you that life is great, but you know, life isn't great. Life's the best. I will tell you right now, it's the best it's ever going to be, and it ain't ever been better for me. I will tell you, I get to be present in my kids' lives, man. I get to watch my kids, and I never thought that would happen. I gave up on that. You know, my older kids' mother didn't allow me to see my kids. At some point, she said, "Nah, you can't see them no more." And that didn't stop me from drinking and using. Only until I got here, man, and I really got honest with people, man. I got honest with my first sponsor, and I respect that dude. I don't think he's around anymore, but I remember we had nothing in common. But the way he presented it to me, I believed him. And he told me, "Do you want something different?" And I go, "Yeah, as long as it wasn't what I left out there, I'm willing to go to any length for victory over alcohol." And here I am 11 years later showing you that for a person like that where I come from, said, if I could do it, you could do it. Believe me. And look, I have not even given you the other side of the craziness that I was involved in. But that doesn't matter. The fact is, if you can, you know, if you can find a home group, if you can find people that, like-minded people around you, there's the evidence of God right there. There's a playing field there for you, you know. And it's pretty simple. You know, all these cliches people throw around here, you know, we make hard and we make it harder than it really is, or simple program for difficult people, whatever that is. Look, the more different you feel, the more further, that's the one thing that'll keep you further away from AA, because you ain't gonna do anything there with nobody else. There's somebody in here in AA that's gonna top you, I can tell you that much. You may say, "Oh, you don't know anything about me, you don't know where I've been, you don't know what I've done, you don't know anything." Yeah, I do. There's Polly sitting over there, or she's sitting over there. Yeah, you ain't unique. Another alcoholic right here trying to live life one day at a time. And you know, that first year for me was something. You know, I remember I went through the euphoria of going through this. You know, I couldn't remember if I ever took a sober breath, you know, growing up, and it was always marijuana or something going on. And I remember that first year, you know, I came out of that first year and I was like, "Wow, it's possible. Anything's possible." And, you know, that woman that stood by me for the first 42 years of my life, man, she got sick in that year of 2013, when I was in jail. And I remember getting out in 14 and, you know, all those prayers, all that love that she showed for me, everything growing up, man, like, everything, man. That woman, like, she would sacrifice so much for me, man. She was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, man. And I didn't know what to do, and I thought maybe I was closer to relapsing than staying here. And I used to go to the Alano Club at 12 o'clock right there on K4, man. And I remember I went there one day. I used to go there at 12 o'clock, and I met this one girl. And I watched her walk through the death of her father, and I was like, "Wow, that was pretty powerful." I was like, "Man," I said, "I don't know. I just put that in the memory bank." And I seen her at a meeting. I was like, "Man, this stuff really works." Like, I came to believe in the middle of a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was not set on this God thing yet till I seen that. When I seen that woman go through that and not drink and use, man, I knew this was possible. And although my mom, you know, started deteriorating really quick. She passed away November 9, 2014. And you remember, I came back from her death. I stood with her for about a week, and she was in a hospice in West Covina. And you know, all those years that she was there for me, I was able to make the amends and be there, you know. And I watched that woman die, and I held her hand, man. And I didn't drink, and I didn't use, and I didn't make any excuses. And what I did is I thank God for giving her to me for the 42 years of my life, man. Because, you know, without that, without her prayers, I don't think I would have made it. So if you're sitting in the seat tonight and you think, I'm not really sold on Alcoholics Anonymous. Believe me, man, the power of prayer is so powerful, you won't even know how powerful it is, man. How somebody prayed for you to keep your seat or just to get in this room and hear a message of hope. Because I wasn't hearing hope out there, man. I was hearing just distortion. It was dark. It's dark for me, like it was for a lot of other people. You know? Although that woman's not here with me, I carry a lot of what she taught me, man, growing up. And I'm a single parent. I raise my son the same way my mom raised me. And it's crazy. I just see that. I'm like, wow. If I did learn anything, I learned how to raise a kid by myself. So God bless me, you know. And Alcoholics Anonymous is the God, man, this is the, it's the best thing, like I was telling you. Like, without this, I don't even have a life. Without God, I don't even have a life. I don't have anything. And I make sure when I wake up in the morning, every day, I thank Him for the things I don't have, because that's where the humility comes in, to understand that there is a higher power and I'm not it. And to really grasp that allows me to get really, really small and understand that I'm just one working component of this whole thing. I don't have to be the best person. I don't have to be anything. I have to just be me. That's what the requirement is, to help others. You know, find yourself a home group, man. Like, find yourself people that are like-minded. Like I said, like, without that, like, if you're not around sober people, who are you around? Like, who are you carrying your company with? Like, I can't express the importance of finding sober people, man. Going to sober events, hanging out with sober people. Because that makes a difference. You know, you don't hear the things that you would hear in the worldly things, you know. I just love this program, and I hope that if you heard anything tonight, that the one thing you did hear was there's a message of hope, that there's something out there that you just have to look for it. You have to find it, man. You have to keep searching for it. Like, you may never get there, but as long as you keep trying, you may find it one day. And it's not perfection. We ain't trying to be perfect here. Like, that's what I ain't trying to do. And like, that's the message I want to carry, is like, this isn't about being perfect. This is about just taking direction, you know, whether it be from a sponsor, or I was talking to Aaron. It's like, it doesn't matter if I sponsor people. It's like, I just want you to stay. I don't care if you do anything else, but you stay and you get this. That's the one thing I get high on now, is watching people sober up, watching people turn their lives around, watching people go from, yelling at the tree to coming to this meeting saying, hey, man, you know what? I got my own place. I finally got my own place. Or I got a job, or I'm working here. Man, that, when I hear that, like, that's how I see God today, is working in other people's lives and providing for them a way to live without having to kill themselves. And that is the highlight of my day, is when I come across an alcoholic. Hey, I remember you from here. Or we get into this conversation, and then all of a sudden, like, y'all think back, where did I know this person from? And then, like, I'll think back, and I'm like, wow, I remember when this person came in. And look at them 30 days later, man. They got their God cape. They're running around, right? They're on fire for this, man. Like, that's a beautiful thing, though. Like, without this, what do you really have? What do you have without Alcoholics Anonymous? I can't rest on my laurels. I got to keep going forward, you know. I'm just grateful, and like I said, you know, thank God. And I always say this about High Desert Big Book Group, and like, nobody's ever invited here, but everybody's welcome. Just know that, okay? My name's Ruben, I'm an alcoholic.